Welcome to the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your legacy every day that you live. We are so overjoyed to have one of the few returning guests to the Voices of Legacy. On today's program, we'll be talking to a young man that is very talented, to say the least. I know he probably wouldn't say that about himself, so I'm going to say it about him for him. Excellent musician, an author of many books, Mr. Adam. How do you pronounce that last name?
Elfado.
Elfado. And Adam, what's been going on since we last spoke?
Well, since we last spoke, I've been able to publish a book. Mm-hmm. I've had some compositions in the making. And, you know, I expanded my talent to a different state, so.
Oh, a different state?
Yes.
So you left Ohio?
Mm-hmm.
How dare you? Where'd you go?
We went to Allen, Texas.
Oh, okay. How'd you like it?
It's really nice over there, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not all the time you get to go to a different state. There's more, a bigger community. There's a lot more opportunities there. But, mm-hmm. you know, I just like to expand where mm-hmm. my talent is. So, yeah.
So someone offered you an opportunity or you just took the opportunity?
We took the opportunity. I've been thinking about it for some time, you mm-hmm. know. Having one state is a lot, and it's been really mm-hmm. nice here in Ohio. So we decided to try a different community.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, my goal is maybe every 2 years to go to a different state, you know, try to get a foothold there so that we don't have to actively all the time try to seek out new opportunities. Mm. So right now in Allen, we've had myself in a magazine, mm-hmm. Allen City Lifestyle. I won an award out of 100 kids for being the next future CEO.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and there's a lot more stability there. There's a lot more branching out, mm-hmm. a lot more social structure there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've been to San Antonio, Houston, Dallas. Nice. Yeah, we've expanded everything.
Have you been to the Alamo?
Yes, we have, yeah.
Oh, how'd you like that? It's not as big as you thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be bigger, but...
Everybody says that.
Yeah. The history is bigger than...
Yes, it is. It is. The story's much bigger.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. So you're getting an eclectic view of the states.
Yes.
That's good. That's good. So you're back in Ohio.
Yes.
What brought you back?
You know, there's a lot... We have to revisit sometimes, you know, we mm-hmm. can't just let the passive mm-hmm. social structure. So, yeah, we came back, we visiting everything else, you know, trying to understand what happened since we last uh-huh. came here. Yeah, one of the opportunities was this.
Wow. Well, we appreciate you coming back. And you're coming back because you have a new book.
Yes.
Tell us about your new book.
So, The Higher Cryptolith, it's going to be my next new series.
A series? So, yeah. How many?
Huh?
How many books then, you think?
I'm thinking, you know, at least more than three, just to like branch out the full thing. So The Hire of Cryptolith, mm-hmm. it talks about a different type of world. It's where an empire, a society decides everything that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot, you know, you can kind of think about it like every community is in a bubble
mm-hmm.
and each bubble decides what happens in the community. You know, there's some communities, it's always cold there.
Yeah.
And so the empire is testing out, you know, seeing what happens to humanity when you put them in situations they can't handle.
Mm.
So one boy, which is the main character, he decides he has enough. So he joins the rebellion.
Ah.
Which, yes. And he learns a lot more about how the empire is managing everything. And he realizes there's a lot more political power than society really shows.
Okay. I'm going to have to backtrack just a little bit. Just so you know, our listeners, how old are you, sir?
13.
He's 13. And he has a series of books. Oh, my goodness. And it sounds like you have the characters kind of fleshed out and you're I guess, expanding them as you go?
Yes.
So are you going to keep that?
Development, yeah.
Keep that primary character throughout the series of the books?
Well, in the story, it changes perspectives.
Oh.
So it goes from the main character to a different person.
That's pretty cool.
So it doesn't just show one person's thoughts, one person's mm-hmm. feelings. It shows the other side.
Oh.
It kind of shows how... You know, some person thinks about humanity first, someone else thinks about politics first.
Mm-hmm.
And so it shows that maybe not always the time the person you see has the right perspective.
Wow. So you have an extremely good dialect, and I appreciate that. But how is this written? Is it written in a fashion that children would like it, or you think adults would like it, or would you think just about anybody?
I would think just about anybody.
Well, like and comprehend.
Yeah, I'm going very detailed here on mm-hmm. the, you know, lore aspect of it, but...
Well, you wrote it.
Yeah. So it's made in a way that anyone can understand it. As you move on, you start to make connections. Mm-hmm. It's not clearly stated that this happens. You know, as you read on, you make the connections yourself.
Gotcha.
But I made it in a way where you don't have to, like, guess.
It sounds like kind of like a graphic novel-ish, almost like you're reading a video game by your description. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a first-person type of narrative. That's pretty neat. So how do you fluctuate between the characters where it actually flows?
So each character has their own backstory.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you start off in the novel, you meet the first person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he gives his backstory, but doesn't clearly state it. So you make your own assumptions. And as you go on, you start following his story, his life. And then when you move to the next person, it's almost like you move into a new world. So each person has their backstory, and their backstory contributes to their actions later on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, kind of answering your question, each character eventually meets on, and their conflicts confide with each other. And eventually, I'm not going to spoil it, but at the end of the book, there's a lot of symbolism in the cover of the story. So, yeah.
Wow. Now, many young people dream about writing. What, and how many books have you written so far?
5.
Wow. I'm busy working on my second manuscript, and I'm 55, so I feel some kind of way about that. But what would you suggest to a young person that may be interested in writing?
I would say to definitely believe in yourself. When you start out, you think no one's going to like want to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as I've been doing these book fairs and as I've been writing, it surprised me actually how much people want to contribute.
Hmm.
I've noticed, you know, when you go to book fairs, some people don't even buy the book. They just donate.
Wow.
Yeah. So maybe like 6 people every book fair I go to, they just say, here, take this money. We believe in you.
Yeah, it's
we want you to continue on. And it inspires me a lot. So I would say definitely believe in yourself. There's always someone out there that wants to read your type of novel or your type of manuscript. And I would say that it just depends on your location. It depends on who you decide to trust and to definitely believe that there's someone out there who would want you to continue on with what you're doing.
Oh, you've written, and that's amazing what you just said. And I've actually witnessed it. And I've seen it because I think we met at an event that you were
with
your parents.
Yeah.
Man, that was 2 years ago. Time flies. Oh, my goodness. But you've written about science, music, history, natural disaster, survival, and now this epic fantasy that you've just written. How do you come across the subject matter, or have you been thinking about it for some time and you just now get into it?
So what I noticed is when you book write, you have multiple ideas and you have to pick one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this idea, I had it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think about when I finished publishing the third book. And since I had it going in a series, I couldn't just make a book out of nowhere. So I decided to finish it. And I've been, you know, the ideas have kept coming. And eventually I made it into a fantasy. But one thing I noticed is you have to, you know, take ideas from others.
Gotcha.
You know, you can't just come up with an idea and go with it. You have to read more. And so that's a major thing, reading and writing are.
So is there a difference between the idea and your inspiration, or are they one and the same?
They're one and the same, because you can't have inspiration without an idea, and you can't have an idea without inspiration.
Mm. So the inspiration is that pushes you to go ahead and just do it.
And forward, and then your idea is
I remember you talking about, I think it was your younger sister, in regards to a song that you had composed previously.
Yeah. My inspiration was her, and then my idea came after I completed it. So, yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Have you ever encountered writer's block?
Yeah. It happens a lot, actually. When you think of an idea, you just don't know how to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you want to continue on for the next chapter, but you don't know where to start. So, yeah, that happens a lot.
So that probably means that there's some other books that are unfinished.
There's ideas that are unfinished. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So you're probably going to be writing for a while, I expect.
Yeah.
So we were kidding before the program in regards to movies. Have you had any forethought to the potential of your fantasy epic novel becoming a film in the future?
Well, I had the idea, but it's about the realism of it. So.
Well, screenplay.
Yeah.
The book is written, so.
The book is written, yeah. And we actually had the idea. In the third and fourth novel, I had my own compositions in it.
Mm-hmm.
So my idea was to make an audiobook where as the thing goes on, the music would play in the background.
Oh.
Oh, that would be amazing. That's the first step to a movie.
Yeah, that would be very good because, well, you compose music. Mm-hmm. Well, you're a one-man show. And you already have the other books. Do you have audiobooks for any of your other books?
Not yet. So it's definitely something to step forward to.
It's an idea and an inspiration.
Yes.
Now you just got to do it. And that would be awesome. Do you have a web address where all of your information is?
We have it in the business card. And also, if you search up my social media, I also have a lot of information there where you can check out everything.
Or your very unique name.
Yes.
Yes. How do you spell your name?
Adamelfadl.
Gotcha. Many people your age spend hours on social media, but you've invested your time in creating books and music and such. How do you balance being a kid, because you're still a young man, mm-hmm. and producing music and writing books?
Well, it's about the medium. I think that's the main thing, because when you try to balance social media and balance academics or passions, it mixes and it's not going to be as thorough. So I like to see, I would say, fun as doing these things. And so
this is your social media. Yeah. This is your video game.
So social media, I use it more as a way to broaden and let people know about myself, not as a thing to spend maybe hours on, waste a day with.
Time. Yes. Yeah.
So I use it more as a tool rather than, you know, something to pass time with.
Wow. You might want to have your kids listen to this interview. because, again, 5 books. How many songs have you composed?
Composed 7 so far. 9 are in the making. So, yeah.
Wow. And what else?
I've been working on trying to expand, as in going to producing free ways to I play their music at businesses for free. I've also go to book fairs and I try to like help out vendors, and I've tried to expand through that. And so, yeah.
You have a portable piano to take to your business fairs?
Yes, so we have an electrical keyboard that I take with whenever I have the ability to play piano, and it's been helping a lot. Yeah. Wow.
Are people that you've booked with shocked that you do both?
Yeah.
Effectively?
Yeah, I think that's also a thing that surprised me. That there's not a lot of people that do like a hybrid of things. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I try to combine music also with my books.
Wow. Have you gotten with and I'm asking a general question, it's really an idea, maybe the Lucas County Parks and Recreation about concerts and such? They have concerts in the park.
Yeah, we also do concerts ourselves. So, in piano right now, I've a couple months from finishing my course, I'm going to start graduating from that and starting to study composers. And they have their own concerts. And so usually I go there and there's competitions. And so.
Do you like the competition? I saw a smile. You can't see the smile. I keep saying on radio and podcast. You enjoy the competition then?
Yeah. I like to compare myself to others. And so that helps inspiration.
Now, where do you study, if you don't mind?
I study at Alfred Music Center.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, there's a good teacher, Mrs. Melanie. She's been with me for a lot of years now, since I was 4 years old.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of years. It's almost a decade, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting close to finishing the course. And so it's pretty nostalgic, yeah.
Wow. And then the student becomes the teacher. Well, we don't know. But man, I'd say you're accomplished. And with the books and the book fairs and the radio interviews that you've done and are doing and the book that you have, and you said you have much more in the works. What's on the horizon outside of everything that we talked about?
Well, since last this summer, I've written the book. I'm thinking about now expanding to a 6th one to expand the story of the Hire of Cryptolis to make it more detailed, to make it more lore impactful. And currently right now in the first installment, there's a lot of symbolism to what's going to happen next. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of symbols that represent something that haven't been shown yet.
But you already know what it is, or at least you have an idea of where you're going. So it's kind of like at the end of a Marvel movie.
At the end of a movie, there's a cliffhanger.
Yes.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say there's a cliffhanger.
Making me want to read this book really bad. I can't wait. Oh, my goodness. That is awesome. So you're leading people down the path into even more stories. And for you, developing those ideas, it's got to be a lot of fun to do that.
Yes, it's a lot of fun. I spend multiple days, you know, thinking about it. There's ideas I have to scratch out. There's ideas that come out in the middle of the night, and I have to write them down.
Well, do you have any thoughts too? And this is a loaded question. And Mom is here, by the way, in studio. What school you're going to go to after you finish?
I would say I kind of want to go to MIT.
Ah.
So, yeah, I've been interested in engineering, and I'm thinking about aerospace.
So have you looked at MIT already?
Yes, I have. I've looked at their criteria.
Or, I guess the better question, have they looked at you?
Well, I have actually taken an online course at Harvard for neuroscience. I took the first part, and I graduated from that. And so one of my main goals right now is to finish the whole series of it.
So you're a 13-year-old Harvard graduate. Kind of.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. If you could collaborate with any author or other composer, living or from history, who would that be?
That's a loaded question. I don't know.
Well, you told me who your favorite was previously.
Yeah, but it's been some time since then. I would still say my current one is still the one for The Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. And also right now I've been reading Game of Thrones.
Oh, wow.
And so I've taken some inspiration from them of how they use every chapter or so, they switch to a different character.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've taken that into my book. And I also think about how they put the characters first before the plot.
Mm-hmm.
And so you start off knowing a lot about the characters and then they develop them as you go on.
Wow.
So that's what I kind of took inspiration from. And even on the third and fourth books, I had inspiration from them having a part one and a part two, the first one being the kid and then the second one being the parent, showing both sides of the story. And so I think, yeah, that's definitely inspiration.
Wow. Wow. In composition?
Composition, there's not really ones I know currently. There's a lot of good ones today, but I would say one of my favorite composers is Glenn Gould.
Yeah.
It's not really well known, but when you look at his story, it's kind of amazing. He didn't have legs and he had to play piano on a wheelchair. And it shows that he used his perseverance as a tool to continue on.
That's amazing. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one sister.
One sister, okay. How does she feel about all this?
You know, she's...
supportive?
She's supportive, yeah. Even at the book fair, she likes to hand out the business cards. And
So you're going to employ her as well. Oh, my goodness. That's awesome. How old is she again?
She right now is six.
Six. Okay. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, who knows? You may be a very good influence on her. looking ahead 5 to 10 years into the future, what do you think of the legacy, and we're getting to it earlier, of Adam will be? What would you like for it to be?
I'm going to split this into separate parts.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about the book writing first.
Okay.
I would see the book writing as a tool for, you know, economic stability.
Mm-hmm.
So using that almost like a side hustle, like as I publish books, more people get to know about me, and that helps me continue on, you know, going to college, going to find education. And so I see the book writing, you know, every year or so I'll write one book and then it will continue on. So by the time I'm 18, I would have a whole installment and that would be, you know, a really good stronghold for me when I have to go to college or start a career.
When did you write your first book?
I wrote my first book at 9.
Well, have you been able to see the progression in your writing from then to now?
So I started off as a 9-year-old, you know, writing stuff like facts, you know, looking online, reading books. And now I've kind of taken those facts and I've kind of made them into a fantasy, you know, made them into my own story. And then it's going to progress into something bigger.
Wow. I can't wait to see Adam with a beard. Still writing. Hopefully I'll still be around to see it, right? Wow. Wow. So you would like for your legacy, again, to be clear, to be what, having a library of content, I guess.
Yeah, for piano, I would see it also as the same thing, but I'm trying to make it into one full, you know, mash of content, like you said. So I've already tried to do that, having books about piano, books about composers, having my own composition in books. And so eventually, when I have that idea about making audiobooks of my own compositions in them, it will become into one major segment of my legacy.
So the first book was about what?
was about Earth's resources.
Okay. And it was from the perspective, you said, of facts.
Yes.
Okay.
Nonfiction.
And then the second book?
It was talked about the great composers of piano. And mm-hmm.
So it's more history.
More history related, but it also had more of my opinions in them. So oh. I would like talk about what my favorite quote was from them. And also it had, I started branching into teaching piano, kind of, because oh. I had some facts to know about piano mm. in the back.
You see yourself as a professor sometime down the line?
Yeah.
Teaching? You think you have the patience for that?
Maybe.
Wow. Yeah, I could see a Professor Adam. That even has a ring to it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
I think it's somewhere down there.
And then, let's see, we're at the second. What about the third book? What was that about?
The third book. So that was the first time I branched into fiction or historical fiction. So still in the historical segment. I talked about Hurricane Katrina. Ah. But this time, instead of having it being full of facts, it had its own story to it. It had its own plot. And so the fourth book was the installment of it where it was a years later. When it talked about more of how you had to persevere
through what happens.
The aftermath, yeah. And so it shows that to overcome fears, you have to first overcome the fear itself, if it makes sense.
I meant to ask you about that because I remember that book. How did you come across even writing about that? What made you think about that?
You know, there's a lot of books. I think it's called I Survived.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of storytelling at that time about, you know, natural disasters.
Mm-hmm.
And I would see a lot of times, you know, segments of news, like on a newspaper about how this person saved this person
mm-hmm.
or how he had to overcome this natural disaster to survive.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought about what if I combined that, you know, into a story.
Yeah.
And so once I did it, you know, it was one of those manuscripts that I put aside for a long time.
Yeah.
I just called it like a short story, you know.
It ended up being a book.
It ended up being a book, yeah.
Well, that sounds like a good movie too. Well, it sounds like you have a lot on your plate. Hopefully, the next time I see you, you'll have your screenplay and movie on the way.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of your book right now?
The Hire of Cryptolis.
And how are you spelling it?
I'm spelling it H, so T-H-E,
mm-hmm.
H-E-I-R,
mm-hmm.
and then Cryptolis being C-R-Y-P-T-A-L-I-S.
And Cryptolis is the protagonist?
No, Cryptolis is a school.
It's a school, okay.
I'm not going to spoil much to it, but there's a lot of segments politics in this, mm-hmm. but it's not necessarily as dived into that. But it talks about, you know, how someone has to, you know, balance academics mm-hmm. with also how what's happening in the current.
Now, I got to ask, because you mentioned that a few times, and I know we're about at time. Do you keep up with politics as well?
Not really. But, you know,
but you see the importance of it.
But I see the importance of it, how, you know, sometimes politics aren't always the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to balance the truth with humanity.
That's true. That's true. You really do. Mm-hmm. We want to focus on the human aspect of all things.
Yes.
It's a blessing. Well, thank you so much for coming on with us today, Adam, and talking about your new book, your fifth book. Oh, my goodness. I'm just so impressed and inspired by all of your work. And I'm thankful that you chose to come back and talk to us about this. And hopefully we'll see you again sometime in the future, as I said, you know, when you get the movie, and talk to us again. Keep inspiring people, because I think that's what your life is doing. And we thank you and your family for what you do. Did you have any closing words?
I just wanted to say one more time, I said this in the first one,
mm-hmm.
that just believe in yourself. Mm-hmm. It's always hard to get mixed up with your own thoughts and the current, you know. I would say the main thing is don't believe everything you see.
Mm.
And the reason why I say this is a lot of people, you know, try to frame themselves as being, you know, what they are when really they're not. And what I like to see is don't compare yourself.
Wow.
Because once you compare yourself, you're going to start making expectations that you can't reach yet. And so I would say believe in what you can do. And then as you progress and as you become more of what you want to be later on, you'll start to understand the real importance of being yourself. So,
Boy, that's a huge amen. We need your keyboard here so you can play. Wow, that is awesome and amazing. I think your legacy is truly set, and you're inspiring many with your story. Thank you again for coming on The Voices of Legacy. And thank you for listening to The Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your legacy every day that you live. Remember, be kind to someone. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell III, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE. Voices around us.